Right, welcome to the full council meeting, 14th of May, 2020. Welcome to councillors, welcome to staff, welcome to community board members and chairs, and people on live stream. The first item is the council blessing. Previously, I've asked councillor Sophie Henford to relay that in Te Reo Māori. I understand, and she passed the baton of challenge to Gwyn Compton. So Councillor Compton is now going to do the council blessing in Te Reo Māori. Haere mai.
I a mato I whiriwhiri anga inga taki kia mua. I a o mato aro aro I pono ana mato ka kaha tonu. Kite pakako mahara huapai mo na hapuri I mahi ni mato. Mi kaha hoki mato katoa kia pahuia kia to tika ta mato mahi. Ama ti maya ti tiro whakamua mi ti hihiri kata ti arahi I roto I ti kotaetanga. Me te aroha.
Well done. Ka pai, as they say, and I see Sophie Henford is beaming because I think she's been your tutor, in a sense.
She did.
So the next question, of course, Gwyn, is who do you like to pass your baton to next for the next council meeting?
I'll pass it on to Councillor Coutts.
Okay, so that's really good. Okay, thank you very much, Gwyn. That was really good. Apologies, I have Janet Holbro. Anybody else? No? I move that the apologies be accepted. Can I have a seconder? Somebody, Gwyn Compton seconds it. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Okay, item number four, declarations of interest relating to items on the agenda. Have not been told of any. Going on to item number five, public speaking time for items relating to the agenda. We have not recorded any wish for anybody to speak on public speaking time. We're now on to item number six, members' business. A, public speaking time, not necessary. B, leave of absence. Anybody got a leave of absence? Is it? No. We're now on to members' business. Matters of an urgent nature, advice to be provided to the chair prior to the commencement of the meeting. Last night, I had a notice from Councillor Rob McCann wanting to raise an issue on the organizational review. I consider it an urgent enough matter to bring it to the table. Councillor McCann, would you like to speak on that?
Thank you, Mayor Guru. Do members have the motion that I have requested in front of them? Can that be put on up on the screen to speak to? Grayson, can that be put up?
And just, yes, for me.
Essentially, the motion reads that the council directs Martin Jenkins to release the organisational review report within the next 30 days. That the report be released at the same time to the mayor, councillors, board chairs and CEO, followed by a briefing of councillors by report author Tom Gott. The report to be released to board members and the public after the briefing of councillors by Mr. Gott. That councillors release a press release following the briefing, that at an appropriate time after the release of the report, the CEO tables a short position paper on the steps needed by management to progress any relevant recommendations made by the report. That the council recognises the uncertainties around the alert levels association with COVID-19 may potentially have a bearing on the above. So that is what I'm proposing. And just to speak to the reasoning behind that, I fully agree with the mayor's decision that we had to press pause on the release of this report to us because we were facing a pandemic and there was just so much to do. But what I would like to do is give confidence to the public and to other councillors that we put in place a process for releasing that in good time so that we can get on with the job of finding out what needs to be fixed. But also having noted in the public there is some disquiet that we haven't made any firm decisions. And I'd like to make sure that as a council and councillors, we fill that information gap with facts, because there are accusations that the report is being buried and such like, and we know that that's not true. But I think a recommendation like this puts those to bed, and then we can get on with the process. So that is the purpose behind making this suggestion. Thank you, Mayor Guru.
Right. Rob, do you have a seconder?
Yes, James Coutts has agreed to second this.
James. James, you have agreed.
He's just waiting on sound.
Thank you. I can't unmute myself, Guru. I need the host to. Look, absolutely been in discussions with Rob about this. 100% Taitoko what Rob has said in all aspects. I think it's important that we indicate to the community that this is not going to be never-ending, that we have a date approaching where we can consider this report. So I'm happy to support this, although I do have a technical question around the naming of the person presenting the report. And in the unlikely event that that person might not be available, and I wondered whether it'd be more appropriate to replace Tom's name with just Martin Jenkins. I don't have an issue having Tom's name in there from a public perspective. It's just more about, you know, recommendations are black and white. And if Tom, for whatever reason, is not available, that we get hung up on that. If that's not an issue, if the chief executive or staff don't see that as an issue technically, as far as recommendations though go, then I'm happy to leave as is.
Well, can I just respond to that? I think given that this is the report writer, it is critical that he is the one that fronts it. So I take your point, but I think and I agree that it's a highly technical point that you're making, considering your technical point. But I think given that this is a report put together by Tom Gott, and he's the one who did the interviews of the different people, I think if he's not available, I mean, we've got 30 days. So I think the resolution says within the next 30 days, he should be available.
I'm not going to die in the ditch over it. I accept your point. I really just wanted to double check about whether that was a legitimate concern. So I'm happy to second the recommendations from Councillor McCann, and I thank him for bringing it to the table.
So the motion under...
Mr. Mayor, we have Councillor Randall and Councillor Compton with their hands up.
Okay, Councillor Randall.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. Of course, I will be supporting this resolution, but this should have been done earlier on. I mean, it was a decision by councillors to release this report. So to me, the councillors should have made a decision, and not one person, to suspend it for 30 days. So I will be supporting this resolution. Secondly, Councillor McCann said he's already got a councillor to second it. I'm not happy with the idea of people having predetermined who's going to second or move a resolution. So surely it should be open at the meeting to whoever wishes to second the resolution or move it. Those are the only two comments I wish to make.
Right. Gwen Compton.
Oh, I was just going to add to it by saying I support Councillor McCann's motion. I think it's a good one. The only question I would have is, are we confident that we're going to have the capacity to look at this in the next 30 days? We've obviously still got the annual plan process going on. I think our next meeting on the 28th, we're looking at the fees and that sort of thing. And obviously we don't know what more might be required on the COVID-19 front. I'm just keen to get some reassurances that everyone's comfortable that we are going to have the capacity to, you know, do this report the justice it deserves.
Can I just respond to that? It has always been the case that the report would be released when it was finished. So the only reason why the report wasn't released was because of the COVID and the inability to have a meeting and stuff. So that's the only reason why. So I understand that the report is either finished or is about to be finished. Therefore, the 30 days will give us time to work the logistics of that. And whatever part of the year it lands, it'll land on a council that's already busy doing business as usual. It's never a good time to land it.
Yeah, but COVID-19 is sort of a unique situation, and also right in the middle of the annual plan process. But if you're comfortable that we'll have the capacity, then that's perfectly fine.
You'd note that one of the last parts of the motion reads that given the uncertainties on the level of alert level for the COVID impact, things might change, we don't know. So that's a caveat on the whole. So you might be right, maybe stuff may happen, where we will be better able to have the briefing. Okay, so anybody else? Jocelyn Pravno.
Thank you. So so the comment you've made today about the report not being finished, that's the first I've heard of it. The reason we've been heard up until now is because of COVID-19. Maybe I've missed something, but I was aware, I made the assumption that because you were saying it's going to be delayed is because it was actually, it was because of COVID-19, not because it was not finished. Can you please clarify?
Well, I'm sure that when you're writing a report and you have time, you may add stuff with my text. I don't know. That's why I'm saying with the 30 days, we will find out the ability to as early as possible.
So I think actually clarity around whether the report is complete is actually really important. So even if there is some time between now and when it is presented, I don't necessarily think the authors should be adding information to it. You know, they've been given a brief what to report on. Yeah, they've been given a brief what to report on, and that's what they need to stick to.
Well, I think the way they do it, I think they've got internal review processes involved, so I don't know what level that is. So the report may be finished, whether it's peer reviewed within the organization, I've got no idea. So the 30 days now.
So you also said, Guru, that you did not want to see the report. That does not mean to say that other councillors don't want to see it.
Well, I don't understand what you're saying, because as the lead person in this interface between the council and the reviewer, given the situation where we had the COVID clampdown, the restrictions. So it is no use sending a report to us when we're not able to have a briefing. Part and parcel of that was the ability of the reviewer to brief us through the process and what is done for councillors to ask whatever hard questions they want to ask, and that's a separate process is needed.
Well, I agree in many respects that can be, you know, that probably should be done around the council table, but
Dustin, just remember that I don't want to be in a situation where we say that given that he's, let's say within the COVID time, he's already finished the report, but I don't want to receive it just because he's finished it.
I agree with that, but I think the fact that you don't actually know whether the report is complete or not is probably not ideal.
Well, I mean, that's why we've got these 30 days, because I don't know what the review process that he's got to go through to land that, I've got no idea.
Okay.
What that tells you is that I've got no idea what the contents of the report is or how the review process, auditing process they have inside there. So what you've said now, the resolution says within 30 days, that will be resolved, but it gives us a chance to resolve that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Martin Holliday. Thank you.
I guess just following on from what Jocelyn was saying, I was under the impression that this report was supposed to be finished by now. I'm quite surprised to hear it's not. I was sort of under the impression that the report had been completed and was just pretty much all, we weren't receiving the report at this stage because of COVID-19. That was the impression I had. So I'm quite surprised to hear that we don't actually know whether that report's finished or not.
Well, I know there are two things down here which I'm trying to clarify. One is whether the report is finished in the sense of the report is written up and concluded. And then the report, whether it's upon delivery, they've got their own review processes involved. Whether it's at the stage of delivery.
Okay. I thought it's two very different issues here. The report's complete or it's not. And the delivery...
A person can finish the report, but they have quality control methods inside, the auditing methods inside themselves, how they do it. I don't know where that is at the moment.
Well, I guess getting clarity around that as soon as possible would be much appreciated.
Well, that's why we have 30 days now to ensure that this is on, then we can do that.
Clarity around that then. With the 30 days we're talking about there, I was under the impression that's when we would be presented with the report, not just find out whether it's ready or not.
That means it'll be delivery. You can say, look, it'll be delivered within the 30 days.
So we're talking about delivery within 30 days. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? If there's nobody else wanting to question clarification time, the motion has you've seen has been moved by Rob McCann and seconded by James Coates. It's now open for debate. No one wanting to debate it? Can I take the vote now? You will see in front of you your ability to the vote box. You can vote yes or no.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, we've got Community Board Member Jill Griggs and then Councillor Halliday.
Oh, okay. Jill Griggs, we are still in debate then.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just looking at the wording of the motion. I can understand the intentions of not wanting to have all and sundry in it, but it does put the community board chairs in a very difficult situation in that they're privy to it and the members of their board are not, and the members of the board will be treated as public. And I wondered if perhaps we could discuss how that could be addressed.
Well, I mean, that's the tension that all the councillors will also bear, same as all of us. It's up to you. If you feel that you can't bear the tension, then you don't have to be at the briefing.
It's the case of the that the board that the chair can be there, but it can't be released to the board members until the public get it. And I just think that think that puts the chair in a difficult position of being sort of one side of the line, whilst the rest of their board is the other side of the line.
So what you're saying is there's a medium down there that the board members should get it before the public.
Well, I think that the if we're saying that the chair can come to the presentation and the board members can't, it makes a difficult division.
Well, that's a choice for you, that if you think that there's a division, then you can make the choice of whether you want to attend that briefing or not. It's actually the invitation, actually the contract for the review is actually between the council and the reviewer. So what we are doing is inviting the chairs also to be part of it. But that's your choice. If you don't want to take that privilege of being around the table to ask the reviewer the questions if you need to for the, because I think the community boards will also interview, chairs also interviewed by the
Absolutely.
Reviewer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's your choice.
I hear you.
We all, Councillor Coote and then Councillor Provanov.
Councillor Coote.
If I could just partly respond to that, Jill, and I take your point and thank you for raising it. And look, understand in my response, I'm coming from a community board background, having been a member, a deputy, and then a chair. Look, if anything, council's trying to extend the invitation to community boards by allowing a position of the chair at the table. That's at the council's discretion, and I would add that in many other councils, community boards wouldn't be involved in something like this. You know, certainly in my work with Wellington City Council and their community board there, they don't have the access that our community boards have to briefings and information. And so in discussing it with Rob and Guru around the recommendations today, it was deliberate to include community board chairs for that inclusion of community boards. And you know, I can hark back to times where I've been chair of a community board and previous trieniums where I've been invited to meetings that have been confidential. And I've got other times when I haven't been invited to meetings as a chair because of the sensitivity of the topic. And I think simply what we're doing here is trying to keep community boards involved and engaged in this discussion. But it would not be practical to open that up to 27 elected members and so forth. But I think partly one takeout we could have from your comment is the timing at which the rest of elected members receive the information. And it could be that that's timed, that they receive that at least before the public do when that's released. But I think in terms of the briefing from Martin Jenkins to councillors, as Guru has alluded to, if community board chairs don't feel they can, I guess, take that on their shoulders, as Guru said, then they could decide not to attend that.
Thank you, James. I think, Jocelyn, did I see your hand go up? Are you just playing with the button?
No. And up by Councillor Provanov. Councillor Coote.
Thank you, staff, Tanika. Look, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Randall's raised just through the chat thing again that there was pre-discussion by some councillors and not others, I guess referring to the recommendations. Obviously, when he raised this with you at the intro into questions, he raised that there as well. Could I add, it's more common than unusual for councillors to discuss notice of motions, recommendations, and so forth when considering a paper. No one wants to go to a council meeting not knowing whether they have support for a motion they're going to put on the table. I would think through this triennium that any one of you around the table would talk to your colleagues and say, I'm thinking about putting a motion on the table for setting up a climate change committee, would you second it? Do you have, you know, do I have your support? And talking to other colleagues, that's politics. That's the way that councils work. And I think most around the table that have been councillors before have done so as well. It's totally appropriate, but look, happy for other councillors to respond to that. I don't think there's anything wrong with councillors discussing potential recommendations or amendments.
I mean, just to add to that, I got the notice of the particular motion that Rob raised with me, matter of urgency. And my point is, it's up to him to say, look, as James has said, for him to see whether if he can't even get a second, then there's no point, is it? All right, anybody else on that? Rob McCann.
Thank you. Just to respond to that, yes, it's not collusion or anything. It's just trying to make sure that I'm going through the right process, which is first to raise it to the mayor, and then including James, because he was one of the previous councillors who led this process. And I think it's preferential to speak to our colleagues first as opposed to, say, the media.
Thank you. Now, if there are no other questions in this, I'm going to put the motion moved by Rob McCann and seconded by James Coates. All those in favor, or again, cast your votes now. I can't find my...
I have 7 votes yes.
Yeah, I can't find my button.
On my screen, it's at the bottom of the participants list.
Yep, I had it before and it's now not there. Just count my vote there in the meantime while I'm trying to search and destroy this.
Sorry, Councillor Holborough?
Yes, could I have the motion read out, please?
Sorry, I can put it up.
Thank you.
If you're able to let me know when you've finished reading, Councillor, I can't see the votes and have the screen share up at the same time.
Yeah, I've got the votes here. We've got 10 votes yes, no votes against, possibly an abstention, Mr. Mayor.
Right. Have you recorded my vote? I still can't.
Yes, I've recorded you.
Participants. I'm looking under the participants one. I can't find the strap line which has got the yes, no vote.
Okay. I've recorded you as a yes. I'll try and sort that out for you.
Sort it out because you've got other voting.
Yeah. Group.
So you've got, so is anybody abstaining?
Councillor Elliott has their hand raised. So I'll just unmute her and she can clarify that for you. Councillor Elliott?
Just clarifying, I am abstaining. I haven't had any time to look at these or discuss these recommendations. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, that's 10 votes yes, 1 abstention.
Okay, then. It's carried. And the other thing to remember is once you press the button, you don't unpress it or don't keep pressing the button until I say carry it or not carry it, and then Tanika will clear the whole board. Okay, so that's carried. Thank you very much. We're now on to the mayor's report. You've all seen the mayor's report. A copy has been sent. Will somebody move to accept it and second it? Can I have a mover and seconder for the
subject? So Elliott,
Councillor Elliott and then Councillor
Move.
Okay, all those who accepting say aye.
Aye.
No objections. Okay. And then I know now that I want to invite Sophie Hanford. She's got a report to table. Sophie.
Kia ora, Mayor. So I would like to move that a Green Recovery for Kapiti open letter, which has been circulated to you all from Low Carbon Kapiti and the Kapiti Climate Change Action Group, be tabled with the understanding that staff will report on opportunities and issues raised in this open letter during their regular recovery briefings. Could someone second that, please?
I'll second it.
Kia ora, thank you for that. So I'd just also like to note as well that Low Carbon Kapiti and the Kapiti Climate Action Group have worked together to put forward this list of Kapiti-specific ideas for building a more sustainable and livable society that is secure for future generations. And the open letter on change.org currently has 350 signatures and climbing. So that will remain up for the community to have access to and take a look over. But the work that's been done by these two groups and the input of their skills and knowledge and experiences in this space has proven for a very comprehensive, detailed and very, very well-written open letter. Now that has been seconded, Guru, all those, do you lead the next
one? Hold on, can I ask, is anybody wants to discuss this? I think Jen and Holbrook, put your hand up.
Yes, thank you. It's a very useful document, and it should be noted that staff have already responded to this letter, saying that they think there's some very good ideas in there, and that some of it reflects work that's already been going on in council, and also some good new initiatives there as well. So work's already underway with staff implementing this. So thanks to Low Carbon Kapiti for this work, and to you, Sophie, for bringing it to the table today. Very happy to support it. Thank you.
So anybody else want to speak on it? No? Otherwise, this move to accept Bernie Randall.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I would like to see the resolution. I mean, I've just had a verbal verbal resolution. I'd like to see it in writing to see what I'm actually going to vote on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sophie.
If you'd like to dictate your resolution, Councillor Hanford.
Sorry,
muted.
Well, I'll be abstaining because I want to reflect on the resolution. Most resolutions should be in writing, from my experience.
Thank you for that, Councillor Randall. I've put the motion into the chat if you can see that. So maybe Tanika could even put that up on her screen, and so that you can see that. Sorry about that. I was just muted before, so couldn't respond. But if you can see that in the chat. But happy for you to abstain too, obviously.
While that's going on, Councillor McCann, do you want to say something?
Just reminding councillors that letter has been circulated by councillor Sophie Elliott, Sophie Hanford, to all councillors. So it has been raised, and the matter has certainly been drawn to our attention. This is not a new issue.
And this is merely to accept the letter.
So you can see that now, Bernie, on the screen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. But Councillor McCann, I disagree with him that this is a full council meeting and we should be actually able to see the proposed resolution. Something that may have been circulated yesterday could be changed today. And I think I'm in my right, Mr. Mayor, to ask for a written, the resolution be actually written down and recorded.
Councillor Randall, I don't think anybody's denying your right to say it is a legitimate call, certainly. And all that's been added on is that in terms of thinking about it, it has been circulated for some time. That's all. So is the motion...
Mr. Mayor, we have Councillor Elliott.
No, I'm just looking. Is the motion written out okay?
Yeah.
All right. Councillor Elliott.
Just querying why the recommendation maybe doesn't mention the fact that some of the actions in that report have already been discussed and that there is a report coming back. Council have committed to, management have committed to give a report back to Council on June the 4th as part of the annual plan discussion. Or is that just non-existent now and now we're moving to some sort of a new format for a green recovery?
Councillor Hanford.
So, Jackie, just to check, what would you then propose be added to that? And maybe we should get some guidance from staff on as you mentioned, the process for that
briefing. Just hang on a moment. All we're doing is accepting the open letter and adding the fact that the staff will continue discussing this issue with us. That's all it is.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I'm still expecting a June the 4th deadline for some specific information around the green recovery to be coming back around opportunities for staff to be continuing working from home and looking at the leases on some of the buildings that we are currently leasing for staff. I wouldn't want this report then to supersede that and then for us not to get any answers back on something specific that we've been promised answers to in a timeline.
Yeah, I don't think that this motion does that. All it does is to accept the open letter, has one addition to other stuff that, as you have yourself have said, you've raised other issues. And so that is part and parcel. Just adds to the conversation that's going on. And I'm sure,
okay,
looking ahead, there'll be other organizations putting forward other proposals too.
Thanks.
Equally valid. Right, anyway, Martin Holliday.
Hi, look, I definitely support this in principle. I've got no issues around that. I've got no issues about supporting what's being tabled. I just didn't realise that this was going to be tabled. And a little bit of guidance around this, that do we get an indication in future if these sorts of things are going to be tabled? Or do we wait till the day that it is tabled? Otherwise, I would have taken more care to be more fully informed about that letter. Would have, you know, maybe jotted some notes down and bits and pieces there as well. I didn't realise this was going to happen. I'd usually like a little bit of lead in time for this and with regards to that. So I'm just making that comment.
Yeah, that's a very fair comment, and that probably falls somewhat on me and still learning the process. So thanks for that, Martin. And
I appreciate that. So am I, Sophie.
Yeah.
Right, Janet Holbrook.
Yeah, so I agree in a way. This is the second motion that's kind of been tabled on the day and having to kind of consider all the implications of these quite big pieces of work and considerable decisions for the council. I think even if it's not required in standing orders, potentially as a matter of care and good process, if elected members could circulate these motions amongst the rest of the elected members so that we have a chance to properly consider them. Thank you.
Point taken.
Yeah, thank you, Janet. Yeah, point taken.
Right. So nobody else wanting to speak on this. The motion that's on the table has been moved by Councillor Hanford, seconded by the Mayor and myself. All those in favour, can you just cast your votes then? Grayson, can you record my vote as a yes?
So that would give us 11 votes, okay. Yes.
Carried. Thank you. We're now going to item number 8, reports 8.1, decision on proposed district plan variation 3, Country Road, Otaki, low density precinct. I think the...
Mr. Mayor, we have Councillor Holborough with her hand up.
Councillor Holborough. Oh, you got...
Yes. So I had trouble getting in today, so I wasn't here for the declarations of interest. I'd like to declare an interest on this as I was on the hearings panel for the decision.
Commissioner.
So.
Okay, that's noted. The presenter of this report today is Jason Holland. He's the District Planning Manager. Jason.
Mr. Mayor, councillors and staff and members of the public, good morning. I've got two items for you today, and the first one is indeed about Variation 3 to the proposed district plan. Variation 3 is one of three variations that is currently being progressed to the district plan. It has originated from an appeal on the district plan. It was publicly notified for submissions in mid last year. We have received a relatively small number of submissions. Five submissions were received on this variation. As Councillor Holborough has indicated, there was a hearing to consider those submissions. It was chaired by an independent Commissioner Mark St. Clair. We also had Ms. Miria Pomeroy to provide expertise on tikanga Māori matters, and Councillor Holborough was also on the hearings panel. The hearings panel considered submissions and heard from one of those submitters in December last year, and we now are in a position to give Council the ability to consider the hearing panel's report and recommendations on Variation 3. And you'll see on page 9 of your material today the specific decisions that we seek. So just a very brief overview of what Variation 3 is about. It relates to some land in County Road, Ōtaki. It, in a sense, enables some additional residential development of that land by rezoning it. That's the nature of Variation 3. You have a large wad of paperwork in association with the decision that we're seeking from you today. That is because variations to district plans follow a very formal process in the Resource Management Act, and councils must take into particular regard a number of matters, and that's what that paperwork covers, including the evaluation report that you have as part of that paperwork. So yeah, the decisions that are being sought are there on page 9. I'm happy to take any questions about that.
Thank you, Jason. I have a question to lead, possible discussion around this. We know that there's been a recent interest in productive soils, and there was a national policy statement being prepared, or has it been finished, on productive soils? And even without that, the district plan has got protection issues on productive soils. Was this an overlay that was considered, given that this is rural land and one particular property has been intensively used for horticulture? Jason.
So Councillor Holborough may recall, we are talking about a relatively small piece of land here. Look, I don't recall from memory, having read the report, seeing that highly productive land was one of those major issues that was raised by the few submitters that we did have. It is quite important to note that the Council's decision today on Variation 3 is essentially whether or not to adopt the Independent Hearing Panel's report as their own. The only other option that Council does have is to reject that report and essentially rehear the entire variation. So it is important to just take that into note, that is the choices that Council have on Variation 3 today.
With due respect, Jason, my question is not to question the Commissioner's decision as such. It's only an alert that this is an issue, an ongoing issue, looking ahead. And the question I also ask is, what is the status of the last government resolution to push for an addition in terms of national, I think it was a national policy statement on productive soils. Do you know the status of that?
That's right. They have proposed a draft national policy statement on highly productive soils. Council did put a submission in on that. And at this stage, it remains in a draft form. We haven't had any indication from central government about any changes to how fast they're going to progress with adopting that formally. So as a draft, it has no status. We had previously been led to believe about mid this year, we would see that put forward as a final national policy statement, at which point it would have some legal effect.
Given that it's still a draft, our current district plan does contain elements of this protection, because I know that Massey University, had previous councils had contracted Massey University to do a study on productive soils in the Kabri Coast. I'm just alerting this in the case, because there's obviously going to be tension between increased development and the impact on rural productive soils. That's all. I next have Jocelyn Pravnov and Jackie Elliott.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd like just to follow up on your question. So I would like to direct a question to council staff, if they are able to provide any information about what area, what number of hectares or square metres of land that comes as that basically was market garden land or highly productive land, please.
Jason.
Council staff, I'm not sure whether he knows the answer, or whether council staff, any council staff know the answer?
We certainly have got data on the land use capability classes of soil that are throughout the district. Some of that data is Greater Wellington's data, and I believe we could get that information at a district-wide level if you would like us to.
Well, maybe rephrasing my question. So this matter was not, and I know that commissioners can't speak, but obviously council officers provide information into that hearing, and I'm just, you know, I'm interested to know whether it was even discussed. So whether any council officers are able to provide any information on that?
So that information will be in the various reports that have been circulated with the agenda. I do understand actually that this piece of land is surrounded by residential land, and so I don't suspect that we are talking about an erosion of a large piece of highly productive land in this instance.
Thank you.
Right, Jackie Elliott.
Councillor Elliott.
Jason, the bank of mature forest along the southern end of the maps that is presented, can you tell me if there was any decision to put a protection covenant over that ecological corridor? Or is that all open to be developed into residential?
No, yes, it has been identified, that ecological site, in the provisions that are proposed to be amended, there is protection for that ecological site, and that was seen as an important thing to do, to protect that land. One other thing I should mention is that before any subdivision or residential intensification can occur, there will need to be an application for resource consents. And so there are a range of matters that submitters have mentioned to which there will be further consideration given through later consenting processes that would need to occur before residential intensification could occur on that land. But the actual variation itself, yes, it does include protection for that named ecological site.
Thank you.
Martin Holliday, then James Coates.
Look, hi, just reading through this, and look, this might or might not be the right forum to raise this. I noticed in issue 3, page 67, point 10, existing rural rights, in relation to the lady that wanted to keep farm animals on the land that she had, wanted to have the ability to do that, and that wasn't supported. If we move down to page 75, give me a sec. She was wanting to have the ability to keep your donkeys and chickens and bits and pieces on that land. Does that being her land, does she still retain the right to do that, or is that being rejected, or will she have to go through a process to ensure that that happens in the future? Some clarity around that would be appreciated.
What I can say is that the reporting officer to the hearing noted that there are existing use right protections under Section 10 of the Resource Management Act, and that should afford the submitter some confidence that they are able to keep those sorts of animals and that kind of activity, provided that they don't increase it in scale or significance. There are some protections there.
Cool. Okay, thank you.
James Coates.
If there's no further questions, Guru, I'm happy to move the recommendations. Having been the Ōtaki Ward Councillor, the previous trinium, and had briefings and presentations on this particular piece of land, I'm well aware of it, and I'm sure Councillor McCann will be happy to see this land being able to developed into more residential housing in the centre of Ōtaki community.
Right. So James Coates, you're moving this. Have you got a seconder? Rob McCann and Angela Buswell. So it's been moved by James Coates and seconded by Angela Buswell. Any debate around this? No. I'm put the motion to the floor. Please cast your votes.
I have 9 votes yes. 0 votes no.
Abstentions?
Mr. Mayor, if you managed to locate your yes.
I've got the yes.
So that still remains as 9 votes yes. Are there any abstentions? Oh, Councillor Holborough?
That's right.
Which takes us to 10.
Right. One more? Anybody who's not voted at all? This has become strange. I can't see them. Look, anyway, it's carried.